Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report, special daily editorial on this Memorial Day long weekend. We are getting an update from Novo Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol NVO, and on the OTCQX under the symbol NSRPF. We are chatting with the executive co-chairman, Mike Spreadborough. Now, there are a number of news releases that we're going to touch on, mostly from last week, but then also address some just general questions that you all have sent in to us, starting off on the exploration front. Now, Mike, the recent news release, May 24th, outlined, as it's stated in the news release, significant lithium tantalum mineralization identified at the Nelligan property. I'll get some of your thoughts and what has you guys excited about this lithium tantalum mineralization, but I do also want you to address the fact that, look, most people think of Novo as a gold company, both production and exploration. There have been some criticism that the company doesn't seem overly focused right now in terms of exploration. This news release, we received some emails on the back of that saying, I thought the company was exploring for gold. Why are we now hearing about lithium tantalum mineralization? Mike, take us through first what's important about this new style of mineralization on the project, but then also the focus of the company in terms of exploration.
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's never a dull day for Novo and our exploration efforts. The team are really out there looking for all sorts of things across our tenements. So as you know, we've got over 12,000 square kilometres of tenement. The Pilbara province, whilst we're focused on gold, is also known for base metals, particularly nickel. Obviously big iron ore province, but in terms of what we're looking for, also nickel and lithium. So it would be very remiss if we didn't task our exploration team to look for other value for our shareholders across the tenements. So one of our areas that are south of our Burton's Creek project, the Nelligan Gold Project, has been known to have a history of pegmatites, which contain lithium. So previous owners have had a look. We did some follow-up late last year. It's taken us over 4 months to get the assay results from a series of rock chips. So these are, you know, literally a geologist jumping out of helicopters, chipping pegmatite rocks, taking samples, and we send them off for assays. So that work has identified a 16-kilometre-long pegmatite zone. We call it a swarm. So that zone has come back with some very strong rock chip samples and assays. In the release, we talk about 1.54% lithium and almost 2,000 parts per million tantalum. So, you know, early days, very exciting, you know, for us. For those that aren't aware, you know, in Australia, the focus on lithium and battery metals is very strong. There's a lot of parties out there looking for lithium. In the northern part of the Pilbara, there's some huge pegmatite projects that have brought lithium to the market, providing lithium to particularly the Chinese market for batteries. So we're not necessarily focused on developing lithium into a producing asset or even developing it. So we will look, as we've said in the release, we're doing a strategic review, but essentially we'll look for other parties who will come on board, provide value to shareholders and continue to work that prospect up. So again, not core for us because gold is our focus, but we can't ignore high value type commodities like lithium or nickel where we can get value for our shareholders.
Mike, I think it's a good point because honestly, my initial response when I first saw it was like, lithium, what are we doing here? But for people that haven't been following along with the Australian story, there are companies like Pilbara Minerals or Mineral Resources of Australia that have worked on getting large pegmatite deposits into production, as you just kind of highlighted. There is value there. And for gold investors that are looking at the Novo story because they got into it for gold, the whole point of the land package you have is the prospectivity for mineralization. So I think it's very promising to hear that you would bring in a partner or look for somebody else, keep the main thing your main thing, but also still keep building value where you find it. When we were talking before we came on, we also talked about not just the lithium, but you still have a wealth of base metals prospects on the property. Maybe just briefly touch on that too. While these are both non-core, they're still value drivers.
Yeah, no, lithium, as I said, is a big story in the Pilbara. If listeners are interested, you can follow Calidus, Kalamazoo. there's a whole range of other gold companies who have done exactly what we've done, looking across their tenements for lithium or pegmatites that have lithium bearing minerals, because there is a big demand by the big producers north of the Pilbara who have got big processing plants who are looking for sources of lithium in their mine plans. So, you know, our opportunity for us is to look for someone who wants to take forwards. But on the nickel side, you know, if the listeners remember, on the West Pilbara, we have our Purdy's North tenement. That's south of the ASX-listed Azura's Andover project. We've got the same nickel structural geological setting as the Andover. As we did an update not too long ago, we've started geophysical assessments. So that's where we're using electricity and other techniques across the surface, looking for exploration targets or drilling targets below the surface. So that work's underway at the moment, and we hope, based on that work, that we'll be drilling those nickel targets in a couple months. And again, we don't expect us to be long-term developers of nickel project, but that province where we are is highly prospective for copper and nickel. We'll work those projects up to some point in time, not sure where that is, to you know, identify value for shareholders, and then we'll look for a way to monetize it to shareholders. And you know, if you look at some of our presentations at our purpose statement, that's what exactly it says. You know, we're happy to monetize or have commercial arrangements on non-gold properties to give us value back to the shareholders. So definitely on the nickel side, people should keep an eye out for updates probably in the next couple of months as we start drilling some of those targets.
So, Mike, when investors are looking at Novo, kind of to Shad's point, a lot of the investors came into the story for the gold prospectivity in Western Australia because you do hold such a large land package and you were seeing gold nuggets. There's a lot of excitement around the story. Now that we're hearing about some other minerals like nickel, like tantalum, I think investors are saying, what is the focus here for the company and what is a large exploration program ongoing? Can you simplify this for us, refocus everybody in terms of what the company is focusing on with the exploration that's ongoing, please?
Yeah, so definitely we've previously talked about spending around $20 million on exploration this year. 80 to 90% of that is 100% focused on gold. So we've talked about this before, kind of in the gold space. Really four target areas if you work across the country. We put a release out recently on the Malmesbury exploration prospect in Victoria. Some really exciting gold grades and the follow-up on that. The reason we like that tenement and the joint ventures we have with GBM Resources and Kalamazoo is it's a kind of similar structural package to Fosterville, which is a very large, high-grade gold prospect. And then closer to home, we're still doing a lot of brownfields work around our processing plant. So previous discoveries of Genie and Parnell, we're continuing to work up that. We've just completed some diamond drilling at Genie to give us core, which will be used for geotechnical and metallurgical assessments. We're still drilling other prospects, and people will see a bit of an update on that in a couple of weeks. And then moving across, you know, the big game for us is the Edgina District. Besha, which we've talked about before, very, very exciting surface anomaly in the same corridor as De Grey's Hemi project, which is 9 million ounce project. It's a bit hard on the picture, you sometimes lose scale, but Besha's over a 20 kilometre soil anomaly. So that's huge. We hope to complete heritage surveys in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Once that's done, we'll be in there doing air core drilling, which allows us to do better soil sampling and then hopefully lead that into RC drilling. So gold still, as you said, Corey, remains our focus. We're looking for those big gold projects on our tenements that have the potential to be standalone, provide feed either through the Nullagine processing plant or justify themselves on a project on its own. And behind the scenes, we're still working away at some of the high prospect prospects that we have that are conglomerate focused. So names of people here, GoldenEye and Skyfall, GOs with a bit of a bent on James Bond. We're still focusing on those. The reasons we like those, they're close to the Nullagine processing plant. So exploration we still see as the biggest leverage for shareholders, and you'll keep hearing almost stories all the way. And I do encourage people that haven't seen it on Twitter or LinkedIn, have a look at our website at some of the videos that our GM of exploration, Kaz, has put together, which provides a bit more of a detail on Malmesbury and some of the nickel prospects in the past.
Well, Mike, I really appreciate you giving us a little heads up on some of the exploration work that you're doing on the gold at Genie, at Egina, and bringing up the conglomerates. And maybe just to camp out there for one more time or reiterate or expand on some of that, Mike, because I've personally got a lot of questions from people asking, are they still working on the ore sorting? Are they still working at Comets Well and Purdy's Reward? What happened to Egina? And a lot of investors feel like they got in because they really were excited about the conglomerate story and just how huge that could be, not just for the company, but for gold production globally. Like, this could be a very interesting process if pulled off. And I know behind the scenes, there's still a lot of work going on. So for all those investors that are still very excited about the conglomerate side of things, what would you tell them, Mike?
Well, first thing, don't forget, Beaton's Creek is a conglomerate that doesn't require ore sorting close into the plant. We're obviously mining the oxide in that, and we'll transition to the fresh, and you'll see some more announcements on the work for the feasibility that we're doing for the fresh Beaton's Creek. So you'll see an update in the next couple of weeks on that. We're still aiming to get a feasibility study out in quarter three on the fresh. But on the ore sortable conglomerates, as we've talked about for a fair while, our focus really is on Comet Well. We have approval to treat around 20 to 30,000 tons of material through an ore sorter so we can understand the parameters that we need to get first government approval. But also, you know, people ask me all the time, how many ore sorters do we need at Comet Well? Well, the reality is this test work that we're going to do over the next 6 months will give us all those answers on throughput, recovery, grade. So that's the key plan at the moment, is to focus on coming together with a production profile for Comet Well. And once we've done that, we'll have to, you know, seek approvals, which we've said, you know, could take up to 12 months production, you know, going into late 23 or early 24. You know, that's a bit fluid. We'll know a bit more when we talk to government early next year. And so then next year, we'll actually move our focus from Comet Well to other conglomerate projects and see if we can bring those into as well whilst we're waiting for approvals for Comet Well. So those conglomerates still remain pretty important. I was actually at the Karratha Comet Well site 2 or 3 weeks ago with our geologists looking at some RC drilling that we've done there and the overall production plan. So it looks good.
All right, Mike, please keep us up to date on ore sorting news, because we are receiving still a lot of emails asking for updates there. It sounds like the ore sorter is even a little bit behind from some of the scheduling we heard earlier in the year. Let's also talk about the other news release from May 24th. That's an operational update, and it sounds like there's some more equipment issues. Unfortunately, it seems like you guys have been dealing with a number of equipment issues. Take us through what's wrong now, and also, big picture, why has there been so many growing pains when it comes to this production aspect?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. So, yes, we put out a quick update to let people know that we did have 2 or 3 days of production interruption because the SAG mill that, you know, you crush ore goes on a conveyor, then it goes in the SAG mill. In the SAG mill, you grind the material down using balls in the mill, and then that goes through the rest of the processing cycle. So one of the big seals on the SAG mill failed, and because of that, we lost a bit of production, so we've updated the market on that. We'll catch that up going forwards. So we haven't lost gold. It just hasn't been processed, and I've actually just come back from site. I spent 2 days there this week, and the processing plant is back up and running at full throughput at the moment. Things are going well, and you will see the gold production pick up, and we'll see that numbers flow through later months.
Okay, Mike, and then as we wrap up the operations part here, is there a way you could just give us a rough idea of, now that you got everything up and running again, what the guidance will be for the remainder of the year on the production front, and what other key news will be driving the company as we move forward for the balance of the year?
Yeah, so we updated the guidance for this quarter. We haven't provided guidance for the remainder of the year. That will kind of come out in the next 4 weeks. But, you know, per that, we're just going to be a couple thousand ounces down for this quarter. You know, it's early days. We've still got 5 weeks to run in the quarter. The guys on site, when I was there in the last couple of days, are very busy on pushing through as much gold as processing plant and much gold as we possibly can. So maybe we might make it up. No promises, but the guys are very, very focused. I was really impressed with the effort on the team in terms of mining. It's quite a remarkable site, very nice and clean and tidy, and the guys are definitely doing a good job there. So for everyone, they should look forward to first an update on the Beatons Creek fresh material in the next couple of weeks, and we'll also provide a production update as well in a separate release in the next 2 to 3 weeks as we head into the second half of the year.
All right, Mike, before we get you out of here, let's talk financial situation for the company. What updates can you give us in terms of the cash in the bank, any other financial news that we should be aware of for the company?
As people are aware, we're able to sell our portfolio in Newfound Gold. We got a very good price. If you look at how Newfound Gold has performed since we've done the sale, we still have around $50 million of Newfound Gold shares that will be sold later the year. And we're going to be using those proceeds to retire our debt with Sprott. So we'll finish the year debt-free, which is really important to us. Obviously, you know, we are continuing our focus on exploration and ore sorting are the key, you know, use of cash through the rest of the year. So we're in a good position at the moment, which is great, and we're able to keep doing our growth projects, and it is nice to clear the debt off our books by the end of the year.
Okay, Mike, I appreciate you addressing some of those questions. Everybody, please keep on sending in your questions. We're going to set up another call with Mike in a couple of weeks, simply doing a Q&A to bring you all up to speed on some of the key points that you guys are all interested in. So please send those questions to us, either fleck@kereport.com or chat@kereport.com. We will get those addressed for you. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Novo Resources. Mike, thanks again for addressing some of these questions, and please, everyone, keep sending those questions in. Mike, please keep us up to date on future news.